Okay, today's daf, or tomorrow's daf rather, is Megillah daf Chaf Dalet. Tonight's shir is sponsored by Shragi Bril, Zecher Nishmas, his mother Chayefega, Bas Rav Yona, Kohen Aleha Shalom. The yard site is today, the Neshama Shavn Aliyah, and Shragi, thank you very much for the sponsorship. So today we're going to learn through a series of Mishnayos on this daf. First we're going to have a Mishnah about the minimum number of Pesukim that you can read and be Metargim at any given time, and the Gemara is going to again get into the idea of what the numbers correspond to, why it is that there's a certain minimum number of Pesukim, and when you're allowed to skip around from one place to another place, both in Chumash and in Navi. Then the Mishnah in the middle of Amar Aleph is going to talk about the person who gets the maftir, what else he's entitled to because he gets the maftir, and what happens if he's a katan, do other people gain that entitlement because it's a katan who gets the maftir. And then in Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about why it is, or what different people who maybe should not get the amud if they're not properly dressed and the like. And then the Mishnah in the middle of Amud Beis is going to talk about different issues that Kohanim may have that may cause them to be unable to duchen because of physical deformities, things that are going to distract people, cause people to look at them, and what the exceptions to those rules might be. And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis is going to discuss people who have certain hakpados, that they're only going to daven if they could wear this kind of clothing or something like that, or different things that may be a sign of apikorsis, that may be a sign that they have some other belief system that they're conforming to other than our belief system, and therefore we would disqualify them from davening entirely. So let us pick up. We're at the Mishnah on the bottom of Dav Chav Gimel and Beis. So says the Mishnah, Akari b'tara lo yivchas mishlosh psukim. Whenever you're laying, you always have to lay a minimum of three psukim. V'lo yikra l'maturgum on yosem mipasuk echad. But when you're reading for the maturgumon to repeat after you, the Metorgaman is supposed to pick up on what you're saying and then be Metargim. So you can only give him, you can only feed him one pasuk at a time. If you're going to feed him more than one pasuk at a time, it's going to be impossible for him to catch up. Ubenavi shlosha. But if you give it to, if you're doing it in Navi, then you could do three pasukim at a time. Hayushloshan shalosh parshios karen echad echad. But if the three pasukim happen to make up three different parshios, and the Gemara will explain where in Navi do we find three consecutive pasukim that are actually three different parshios. But if that ever happens, the three pesukim are three different parshios, then you only read one at a time. So even though in Navi, normally you're allowed to read three at a time before you give the Metorgaman a chance to be Metargim, but if they're different parshios, then you only do one at a time. Now the reason that we're not Metargim nowadays at all, we don't do any Targum, the Torah writes, because the whole point of the Targum was that they'd be Metargim into Lashon Arami. That was the language everyone understood, and Kriyas HaTorah meant so much more to people when they were Metargim in Lashon Arami. People actually understood what was going on in Kriyas HaTorah, but nowadays no one speaks Lashon Arami. We understand the Hebrew better than we understand the Arami, so it doesn't make any sense to do a Targum. That's why we're skipping Metargim entirely. And it's clearly not Ma'akev, meaning if it was something that was Ma'akev, so then it doesn't matter if it makes no sense anymore, we'd still have to do it. But it's clearly not Ma'akev, because we find that even Bizmana Gemara, there were places that they weren't Metargim. Tosus proves this from the fact that Rav Techlifa distinguishes between a place where they're Metargim and a place where they're not Metargim. So you see, there was some viable Minag not to be Metargim. So therefore, nowadays, we got rid of the Targum entirely. Why don't we just translate into English or whatever the Lashna Medubar is in whatever country you're in? Because it's not Stam Targum. The Targum that they used, as we learned earlier on in the Masechta, was significant. It was given Baruch HaKodesh. It was a Targum that was the official Targum. It wasn't just a random translation that somebody decided to come up with. So we don't do Targum at all anymore. But when they would do Targum, if you're reading from the Torah, it's one pasuk at a time. From the Navi, it's three pasukim at a time. But in different parshios in the Navi, then it's got to be one pasuk also at a time. Medalgin b'Navi vein medalgin b'Torah. Another halacha, you can skip around the Navi, but you cannot skip around in the Torah. Vad kama hu medalig, ad kadei shaliv so kama torgaman. And how much can you skip around? To the point that the torgaman is not going to have to stall. He's not going to have to pause to find his place, meaning that you're not going to have to find, after the torgaman is done, you're not going to have a lag in time till you find the next place where you're reading from. So if you're reading from somewhere close, so that you'll have the few seconds that the Metorgaman is being Metargim to find your new place, then it will be perfectly good. Says Gemara, Hani Gimel Psukin Kenegan Mi. So the Mishnah had said that whenever you get an Aliyah, it always has to be a minimum of three Psukim. Why three? What does the number three represent? Amar Avasi Kenegat Torah, Nevi'im, Uksuvim. Three represents Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. Tori Evan points out that the Gemara Baba Kama, when it says in the Braisa amongst the Takanos Ezra, Ezra was Misakin that recorded B'Torah B'Sheni B'Chamishi on Mondays and Thursdays. So the Gemara says, but anyway, the Nevi'im Arishonim were already Misakin that. So the Gemara Gemara says, no, before that they were misakim that one person reads three psukim, or three people read three psukim connected to Kohanim Levim Yisraelim. Ezra was then misakim, they read 10 psukim connected Asara Batlanim. But the Gemara makes the assumption that the original takan of three psukim was connected Kohanim Levim Yisraelim, not connected Torah Nevim Uksuvim. That's the stem of the Gemara in Maseches Baba Kama. So why over here does it change it? It's not Torah Nevim Uksuvim. It's why over here is it Torah Nevim Uksuvim and not Kohanim Levim Yisraelim, like it says over there. So Tari Evin says that over here it's Rav Asi talking, and Rav Asi's Lashitaso, because we already had this discussion on Daf Chafal from Beis not that long ago. We were discussing what the Shlosha are connected, what they correspond to. So Rav Asi is the one that said before that Shlosha Anashim is Keneged Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. So over here also he says the three Psukim are Keneged Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. In Baba Kama it's going like the Shita of Rava. The Rava says the reason that we have three Olim, the reason we call up three peoples, Keneged Kohanim Levi'im Yisraelim. So that's Lishitas Rava. So each Gemara is Lishitaso. That's how the Tari Evan answers this Kasha. But Rishonim already asked this Kasha, and Tosos Rosh answers that you can't say Kohanim Levi'im Yisraelim unless you're talking about three people. Kohanim Levi'im Yisraelim doesn't make sense when you're talking about numbers of psukim. It makes sense when you're talking about how many people are getting an aliyah. Because if there are going to be three olim, then one of them is going to be a kohen, one's going to be a levi, one's going to be Yisrael. So it makes sense that it corresponds to Kohanim Levim Yisraelim. But when you're talking about and that's what the Gemara over there is talking about in Maseches Baba Kama, that the original takana was three people to each read one pasuk. But over here we're talking about three psukim for one aliyah. That for one aliyah to read three psukim, that's related to Torah Nevim Ksuvim, the entirety of Torah Nevim Ksuvim. But what is Torah Nevim Ksuvim have to do with one aliyah of three psukim? All of it is chumash. How does that relate to Torah Nevim and Ksuvim? So this probably relates to the idea that the Gemara tells us that Lasadavo, the other svarim are going to be batal because it's all nichlal in the Torah. We just don't know how to find it in the Torah, other than Sefer Yoshua, where that has the chalukah of Eretz Yisrael. The rest of the messages of the Nevim and Ksuvim could actually be found in the Torah itself. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has a whole discussion of this in his introductions, Mavol Limud Mikra, in the beginning of the Sefer Emes Liakov, where he explains that Nevi'im Ksuvim is sort of like the Nevi'im Ksuvim is to Torah what Brisa is to Mishnayis. Just as the Brisa takes the Mishnayis and just expounds on them, but really everything in the Brisa has a kernel in the Mishnayis, Nevi'im Ksuvim is the same way with Psukim. Everything in Nevi'im Ksuvim, there's a kernel of it somewhere in Torah. So when we read three Psukim from the Torah, we want to highlight that this relates to Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim, that everything in the Torah has so much depth, it's like Torah Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So that's maybe what the Tosafot Rosh is alluding to when he says that it doesn't make sense to talk about Kohanim Levim Yisraelim when you're talking about three Pesukim, but it does make sense to talk about Torah Nevi'im and Ksuvim. And some of the Achronim expound on that in that way as well. As far as Shul, others talk about that everything is nichlal in the Torah. V'lo yikra l'maturgam an yosar mipasak echad b'navi gimel psukim v'ma yishlash and shalosh pash yos kare echad echad. So the Mishnah had said that you don't do more than one pasuk at a time from the maturgam on, and a navi three psukim at a time, but if there are three psukim from three different parshios, then you could do one, then you have to do one at a time in the navi as well. Where do you ever have three different psukim, consecutive psukim that are in three different parshios? So it's in the 52nd chapter of Sefer Yeshayahu. Kigon, the pasuk says, Kicho amar Hashem chinam nimkartam v'lo b'chesef tige'elu. That's pasuk Gimel. And then pasuk Dalet is, Kicho amar Hashem elokim etzrayim yorad ami b'rishon elagursham v'ashur b'efes hashako. And then pasuk Hey is, V'atam aliponu ma'ashem ki lukachami chinam mishalov yeleyu nu ma'ashem esam kalayom etc. minoats. So that's all of these psukim, one right after the other, are in three different parshios. Medalgim enavi ve'em bedal. The Mishnah had said that we could skip around the Navi, but we're not allowed to skip around from place to place in the Torah. Urimini, we'll ask Astira, Koreach, Remos, Ve'achba, Sor, that the Kohen, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to read from the Torah, and what does he read? He reads Achremos and he reads Achba, Sor. So where's Achremos? That's Vayikra, Perak Tazayin. Where's Achba, Sor, Lechodesh, Ashvi, Azeh, Yom Kippurim, who? That's Vayikra, Perak Chav Gimel. So it's in the same Sefer, not that far apart, but six Prakam apart. So he's got to move around a little bit. And that's in Chumash that he's jumping around. Va'akamid daleg. So frankly, Gemara, isn't he skipping around? Amar Abai lo kasha. Kan b'kadesh yivso katorgaman. Kan b'kadesh yivso katorgaman. You're even allowed to skip around in the Torah if you're not jumping that much, and you're going to be able to catch your new place by the time the Torgaman is finished being metarge. I mean, there's not going to be a lag in time because you're only moving it a couple of columns over. So you'll find the new place by the time the Torgaman is finished. That you're allowed to do in Chumash. Frankly, Gemara, but no, you're not. If you read the Mishnah, it seemed pretty clear in the Mishnah that in Navi you're allowed allowed to do that. In Navi, you're allowed to skip around to the extent that Yivsak HaMetorgum. V'Allah Katani. It said beferish in the Mishnah. Somebody showed him to take out the word Allah, because it doesn't make sense to say Allah. It's mamish in the same Mishnah. Allah Katani would be, we have a Brisa that comments on this Mishnah. Over here, it's straight there. V'Katani. Medalgin b'Navi ve'in medalgin b'Torah. V'ad kamahu medalig. When you skip around in the Navi, how much are you allowed to skip? Ad kedei shlo yivsak haTorgamon. So that's what you're allowed to skip in the Navi, where you're not going to miss a beat, where as soon as the Torgamon is done, you'll be able to pick up. Mechal de betorah, klal klalo. But the Mishnah clearly implies that if it were you're reading from the Torah, you're not allowed to skip at all. Ella amra abaye lo kasha, kan binyan echad, kan bishnein yanos. So Abaye says, no, it depends whether what the topics are. If it's one topic, then you're allowed to skip around a little bit, and that's what the Kohen Gadol does on Yom Kippur. But if it's multiple topics, then you're not allowed to skip around at all in Torah, but in Navi you're allowed to skip around only to the extent that you're not going to miss anything when the Torgamon translates the Psukim. The Prima Gadim point asks the Kasha, how is it that we're medalig in Kriyas HaTorah of Tainat Sibur and Parshas Vayichal to Psal Lecha? And he says that that's considered Inyan Echad, and that's why it's Mutal Medalig. Then he says it's Bishnei Olim, you're allowed to be medalig also. So Shar Tzion says, where do you find that you're allowed to be medalig b'Torah, Bishnei Yanim, if it's Bishnei Olim, that's a Chiddush. But the first part of the Prima Gadim says that if it's Inyan Echad, it's all the same topic, fine. So that's based on the Gemara. Shnei Olim, Mehechi Tesi, that you're allowed to be Medalik Bishnei Olim. But Pashtus is what he means, why you're allowed to be Medalik Bishnei Olim? Because the whole Isra being Medalik is when a person is being Kore. It's on the Balkore, it's a din on the Balkore. Each Ola is a new Balkore. That's always the assumption, that when you get an Aliyah, it's a new Kore. So he doesn't have an Isra to be Medalik. It's not a din in the hearing of the Kriya HaTorah. They're not allowed to be Medalik. Maybe he understands that it's a din on the Kriya HaTorah, on the Balkore. So each new Kore, it's not, as long as he's not Medalik, he's okay. Vatanya, and this Vatanya is Benichusa. Vatanya with a Brisa that says just like this, Medalgi Metorah Ben Yinechad, Ubenavi Bishnei Inyanim. That you're allowed to skip around in the Torah as long as it's on the same topic. And Navi, only from topic, you're even allowed to go from topic to topic. But Kanu Kanu B'Kadesh leaves like a Torgamon. Whenever you do any skipping, though, you have to make sure that there's no time lag, that you don't miss anything. Tanya Idach, Ein Medalgi Minavi Lunavi. Another Brisa that tells us you're not allowed to skip around from one book of Nevi'im to another book of Nevi'im. Ubenavi Shoshemas are Medalig, but in Treyasar, they're so small, you're allowed to skip from one of the Treyasar to another one. As long as you don't go backwards, as long as you're going forwards in the Treyasar, you're even allowed to skip from one book to the next. The Mi'iri quotes that Yesh Makshim on the Minog, that on Shabbos, that there's a Chasin, that a Minog, that they would be Medalig in the Haftorah from a Navi to Navi, which would mean that they would say Sosasis, and then they would go to the Haftorah Sayom. So since they would say Sosasis in honor of the Chasin, then they would go to Haftorah Sayom. So that was a dilug in the Navi. And that was from Sefer to Sefer. They were being Medalim Navi. It's not in Treyasar. They're being Medalim Mi Sefer to Sefer. So Miri says that some are Miyashiv the Minig, that they hold that Medalim Navi the Navi is only when it's Litzorech, meaning when part of what your Kriya has to be. Let's say you hold, like we said in the Daf earlier today, that you need 21 Psukim in the Haftorah. And you only got 17 in your first Parsha that you read. So you need to be Medalig to another Navi to be Mashlim, you're 21. That's where the Gemara is saying, you know, it'd be Medalig Mi Navi the Navi. But if you're just done reading it as Siman HaTava, reading it as a nice thing, and you can even say it, but it's not even, it's like saying, Od Yishama Bar Yudu, because, you know, you're just saying something nice. You're saying there's a chasna in town, it's not really part of the Haftarah. That you're allowed to be Medalig. That's how some are Miyashiv the Minag. That's the idea of being Medalig. The Trumas HaDeshen is Miyashiv the Minag, based on a Mordechai, that the reason that you're not allowed to be Medalig Minavi Lenavi is a covenant that Tzibur did, that everyone shouldn't have to sit there quietly while they're rolling up the Navi to go from one place to the other. So he says that only makes sense if they actually have a scroll that they're rolling. But if you have a printed thing where, and it's very easy, you have a bookmark in the page that you're going to go to and a bookmark where you are, so you read the Sosasis, then you flip to the other page, no one's waiting, it doesn't take any time, and the Shmuel Sedeshin says then it doesn't make a difference, then you're allowed to be Medalig. New Mishnah, Hamafter B'Navi, the guy who gets the Haftorah, who paris al Shema? He's the one that's also paris al Shema, so he leads the tefillah by Shema, v'over lefnei ateva, and he leads the tefillah for davening, for shachris, v'nosei es kapav, and he also does the duchening. So a couple of issues over here. First of all, how do we know if he's maftir benavi yet by the time he's being paris el shema? Meaning, you already have it, so you could say, well, maybe they used to give it out in advance. They'd want to make sure the guy's prepared if he's going to be maftir benavi, so they would tell him in advance when he's going to be maftir benavi. But Rashi says not that way. Rashi says a maftir benavi means misha ragil haftir benavi. Why does he have to say misha ragil? Misha ragil means a guy normally, he's the guy that always gets the haftorah. So the guy that always gets the haftorah is also the guy that's always going to be able to lead the tzibur in davening shakras. Why does Rashi say Misha Ragil? Because otherwise, how would you know? He didn't get the Haftorah yet. So if he's the guy that always gets it, so that's what we're saying, that he gets to lead Shachris as well. He gets to be Paris El Shema and over Lefnei Ateva. And then we say, Nosei as Kapav, and he also gets to be Nosei as Kapav. That's a little bit of a strange line, because the halach is, who's Nosei as Kapav? Kohanim, right? So manavshach. If the guy's a Kohen, isn't he anyway Nosei as Kapav? And if he's not a Kohen, then he's not allowed to be Nosei as Kapav. So what are we talking about over here? That if a Kohen gets the Haftorah, now he's allowed to be Nosei as Kapav? He's anyway allowed to be Nosei. He's chayiv to be Nosei as Kapav. So there are lots and lots of answers in Rishonim and Achronim on that very obvious kasha. Tosyantiv suggests that we say Nosei as Kapav because we're trying to set up the Seifa. Meaning, it's obvious that he's Nosei as Kapav. But the next line tells us, or two lines from now is going to tell us, three lines, whatever, about a Kohen Katan and his status of being Nosei Kapav. That what if the Katan got the Haftorah? Then who does the Nesias Kapayim? So to set up that line, it just says Nosei as Kapav. Oh, it's also possible, says the Tosi Yantif, that he's Maskel Bebracha, meaning that's very often when there's a group of Kohanim, there's one that's clearly leading the charge. So he gets to be the one that sort of leads the charge, that he leads all the other Kohanim. Maybe he chooses the Niggin, I don't know, but he's the one that leads all the other Kohanim in the Nesias Kapayim. Tori Evan says, no, Nafkamina is, what if you have a shul that's all Kohanim? So there are going to be 10 that answer Amen, except for the guy who's Nesias Kapav. So the Allah is, some of them are all Duchan, some of them are on Amen. That's what you have to do. So you have to decide which Kohanim are going to Duchan, which ones aren't, because the whole shul is Kohanim. Someone's got to be there, not Duchan. So he doesn't have to be that guy. The guy that's Maftir Benavi, he gets a Duchan. He's automatically doesn't get thrown in the pool of people that's going to be potentially not duchening. The Rashas suggests nafkamina is what it says in Maseches Brachos Daf Lamed Daled, that over lefnei atevel yisas kapav. Let's say a person is leading the tefillah. Sometimes you have the only guy that could daven geshem or daven tal happens to be a kohen. So then what do you do? That kohen is supposed to he's going to duchen. He's going to lead the tefillah. How could you do both? So it's a major discussion. So the Gemara says over lefnei atevel shenapi noseis kapav. But if he's the only kohen, so if he's sure that he's going to be able to be Nosei as Kapav and Chozer L'Tfilaso, and he's not going to miss anything, he's not going to get confused, then Nosei as Kapav. And the poskim explain that if there's other Kohanim aside from him, even if he knows he'll be able to get back to his Tfilah, then he should not do Nosei as Kapayim. So the Mishnah is coming to tell us that even if he's over though he's over Lefnei Ateva, if he's a Maftir, then he should be Nosei as Kapav anyway. Meaning, even though normally the rules are that if you're over Lefnei Ateva, you're davening for the Amud, so then you're not Nosei as Kapav. But if you were the Maftir, then you're Nosei as Kapav regardless, even if you're over Lefnei Ateva. Even though normally over Lefnei Ateva would disqualify one from being Nosei as Kapav. So those are some of the answers. There are other answers quoted by Achronim as well, the Netziv and the Sfasemis also have other answers. That's enough for now. What if the person who read the Haftar was a Katan? We already discussed that a Katan's allowed to do that. So then, Avivo Rabbo over in Al Yado, then his father or his Rebbe are going to be the one that leads the davening in his place, because obviously he's not going to be able to lead the davening. It's interesting, it says Aviv o Rabbo, not Rabbo o Aviv. Sounds like the father has Kedima over the Rebbe, and not like other things where we say that the Rav comes before the father, like Avedas Aviv, Avedas Rabbo. The Gemara in Neil Metzia says, if you have a lost object that your father lost and something your Rebbe lost, which one comes first? So the Avedas Rabbo comes first, because Aviv Mavio Lolam Azeh, but Rabbo Mavio Lolam Abba, your father brings you into this world and your Rebbe brings you into the next world, unless of course your father is also your Rebbe, then he brought you into this world and the next world, then the father comes first. But a Stam father versus Stam Rebbe comes first. And over here it says that when taking over for the child, when piggybacking on the child's Zuchus, the father has a greater Zuchus than the Rebbe. Sounds like it's more like a Din of Yerusha over here, that the child has some Zuchus, but he can't get it, so someone else has to yarshin it from him. So the Dina Yerusha clearly go to the father. They don't go to the Rebbe. So maybe that's why the father comes before the Rebbe over here, perhaps. Katan Kari Bitaru Matargim, a Katan can read from the Torah and be Matargim. Avalaino Pari Sal Shema, Vain over Lefnateva, Vainino says Kapav. Katan's not allowed to be Pari Sal Shema, be over Lefnateva, lead the davening, and he's not allowed to be Nosses Kapav. A katan is not allowed to duchen. So what does that mean? A katan is not allowed to duchen at all? Is a katan not allowed to duchen? So Tosus raises the question. Vein nosei es kapov mashma, hayim hevi beis aros yisa kapov. Tosus is bothering in the other direction. Not that he has a problem with a katan not being allowed to duchen. He has a problem with anyone who's a gadol being allowed to duchen. What? And as soon as he's hevi beis aros, all of a sudden he's allowed to do birchs kohanim? No, v'kasha da b'sof perakam duchul, namer dein nosei es kapov atche ismali zikno. That all, when does a person able to duchen? Only when he is able to grow a full beard. So it's way past bar mitzvah that he's able to duchen. So how can it say over here that as soon as he's a gadol, he's going to be allowed to duchen? Va'od kasha, but then we have a double stira. Demash was so perik luvagazal, katan ayodea lisa kapav, cholken lo truma begorin, vafilu katan mamish. Says that a katan who knows how to duchen, you can give him truma in the beis hagorin already. You can trust that he's a kohen and you can give him truma. What do you mean, katan ayodea lisa kapav? What's he doing v'inosei kapav? Yeah, according to our Gemara, according to our Mishnah, he has to at least have shtei saros. According to the Gemara in Chulin, he's got to have nismali zikano, he has to have a full beard. And then we have the Gemara in Sukkah that says even a katan is allowed to do it. So what's going on over here? Says Tosos, there are three dinim. V'yishlomar, deyidu v'gazol mari im kohanim gedolim lilmod l'schanech. If he's doing together with kohanim, not kohanim gedolim, means kohanim who are gedolim, kohanim who happen to be adults, are also duchening, then he can join with them in order to get the chinuch of duchening. V'ad v'asin l'hacha katan. Over here we're talking about where he's on his own. If you're sometimes at the Ashkama Minyan, let's say over here, there are a lot more children sometimes than there are adults. The kids all like to daven. So what if you're there and there are no adult Kohanim and you have children Kohanim? So they cannot duchen. The Katam's not allowed to duchen on his own. And in Chulin, where it says that you need to have a full beard, that's talking about where he's the guy that's constantly being Nosei Kapov there. But without that, he's allowed to be Nosei Kapov occasionally. Wait, what does that mean? So only someone with a full beard is allowed to be Nosei Kapov all the time? Without the full beard, when he's a 15-year-old Kohen, he's not allowed to be Nosei, he has to skip sometimes? Well, how's he supposed to cheshbon that? So Chutzlaritz is no problem, because you're always skipping. You're skipping all the time. If you're an Ashkenazi Jew in Chutzlaritz, you're skipping all the time anyway, so it's not a problem. But I'm not sure how that works out. How do we do that? How does Tosus envision it for in Eretz Yisrael, for Sephardim, that you're not doing Bekvius, unless I'm misunderstanding what Bekvius means. But that's what Tosfos says, that there are three separate levels, three separate dinim for different types of people. Pocheach, someone whose legs are exposed, Poreis HaShema, he can lead by the Shema Matargim, and he can be Matargim, Aval Einu Kari B'Tor, Vein Over Lefnei HaTeva, but he's not allowed to lean from the Torah, he's not allowed to lead the davening, Vein Enosei Eskapa, V'Kenten Nesei Eskapayim. Suma, Poreis HaShema Matargim, a blind person, could be Pari Shema and be Matargim. Rabbi Yudah Amar Kol Shalom Ra Maoros Miyama Ve'eno Pari Al Shema. Rabbi Yudah says if he was always blind, if he never ever was able to see, then he's not allowed to be Pari Al Shema. So Tosus writes that even Rabbi Yehuda, who allows Kriyas HaMegillah by a katan, remember we had the discussion earlier, can a katan be Motzi Gadol and Kriyas HaMegillah? So Rabbi Yehuda was the Mechudish Tikashita that a katan is allowed to be Motzi Gadol and Kriyas HaMegillah. And Tosus pointed out, and why did the Rabbanan think he's not allowed to? Because a trade the Rabbanan is not allowed to be Motzi Echad Rabbanan. But Rabbi Yehuda apparently holds that even though he's a trade Rabbanan, he's allowed to be Motzi Echad Rabbanan. So that same Rabbi Yehuda over here says that a Suma apparently is no good. So Tosa, even Rabbi Yehuda, who says by Kriyas HaMegillah, Katan is allowed to be Motzi in Kriyas HaMegillah, but still says Paris, it can't be Paris Al Shema because a Katan who's a trade Rabbanan is allowed to be Motzi Gadol Shez Echad Rabbanan, as opposed to by Megillah, where we're more Mekil by Taf and Nashim because they were Afin. Rabbi Yehuda holds is such a big idea that it makes it ki'ilu they're the same as the gadol. That's that since the bechidish also suggests that we say not only to the about the women but about the ketanim also because they were also involved in the nes. That may depend on how you understand afeinu ibosanes. Two days in Tosus and Pesachim. Does afeinu ibosanes mean that they were also involved in the miracle, or does it mean that they were the driving force of the miracle? If you hold that they were the driving force of the miracle, then Ketanim were not the driving force of the miracle. But if you hold that they were also involved, they also benefited from the miracle, well then Ketanim certainly also benefited from the miracle as well. Okay, Vaita, let's see the Gemara. My time. So what's the reason for this halacha that the guy who's mafter benavi gets all of these other kibudim? So if papa mishum kavod, it's for the sake of kavod, meaning since he did something that no one else wanted to do, no one likes to read the Haftara, and he volunteered to read the Haftara, so to give him a consolation prize, we tell him, look, we're going to give you some real kibudim also, in addition to reading the Haftara. Rabbi Arsimi amr mishum da'asil and suye. He says, no, otherwise it's going to be vali de machlokas, that people are going to start arguing who gets to do what, so we just say, you know what, the guy who got them after, he'll just stay there. So my benayu, what's the nafkamina between them? Ike benayu da avid bechinam. Nafkamina is if he did it for free. If someone wants to daven for free, so he's not going to get paid for his tefillah. So there's not going to be any fighting because no one cares if you're not going to get paid. But if for kavod, if it's all about kavod, well then people might care about kavod. So tanan v'mayu katan aviv rabo over al yado. We said if the guy who read the haftarah was a katan, then his father or his rebbe does it for him. But if it's about fighting, the katan's going to be involved in a fight, whether he, if his father doesn't get to do it, he's not going to be involved in the fight anyway. What? You want to say it's mishum kavod? Well, katan bar kavodu? Katan's not a bar kavod either, so it's not going to, you're not going to argue that the katan deserves any more kavod either. So neither of those ideas makes sense when applied to a katan. Ella ika kavod aviv kavod rabo. No, if you say it's mishum kavod, you have to say it's not his own kavod, it's the kavod of his father, it's the kavod of his rebbe. So when you say it's about fighting, hachanami, you can see avin tzi rabo. When you say it's about arguing and quarreling, so his father knows how to argue, ganz good, and so does his rebbe. So that's what it's about. It's about the father and the rebbe arguing. It's not about the child per se arguing. Pocheach poris al shema. So we said someone whose legs are exposed is allowed to be poris al shema. Baymine ula barav me'abaye. Katan pocheach ma'ushiyak rabatara. What if it's a child whose legs are exposed? Child's wearing shorts to davening, so can he lean from the Torah? So what's the halach? Some levi tibayilach arum arum my time alone. Avivit tibayilach arum. Why don't you ask a question about an arum, about someone who's naked? So arum my time alone mishum kavod tzibur. Why is it obvious that someone who's naked can't? Because it's kavod tzibur. Hachanam mishum kavod tzibur. So put two into use common sense. Kavod tzibur. You don't put someone up there who's wearing shorts if it's a total lack of kavod tzibur. In general, we try to make sure that the guy who's leading the tefillos always has something that shows a little bit of a sense of kavod tzibur, that even if you allow a certain mode of dress, or it's acceptable to have a certain mode of dress in the shul for the guy leading, you should make sure that he's dressed properly. That's why our minhag here is that put on a talis. If you're not wearing a jacket, at least a talis, some sort of extra baget to show a sense of kavod tzibur. They're wearing an extra baget for kavod tzibur. Suma pari, even from Arav we do, if you're not wearing a jacket. Suma pari sal shema. Suma is allowed to be pari sal shema. So Tanya, Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda, har beit safa lidrosh mer kavod v'lo rasu v'lo ra'u osa mi'imehem. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, suma cannot be pari sal shema, because what's a suma going to be talking about in the Birch's Kriya Shema? About the Yotzer, or Uvari Choshech? What does he know from Or and Choshech? He's never saw any of it. So the Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, yeah, and when you learn Maisa Merkava, how much of that did you see? You've seen the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've seen what's going on, you've seen the Afanim and the Shafim and the Chayos, you've seen all that, you know what that's about? So, but yet you're allowed to learn it, so Suma should be allowed to be Paris Al Shema as well. So Rabbi Yehuda Hasam Ba'avnasa Deliba Tal Yemilsa V'akam Echavim V'yada. No, that's learning, so you analyze and you study and hopefully you come to some sort of Havana. Hacham Yishem Hana'ahu. Over here it's not about learning, it's about claiming to be getting benefit from the light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. So you want to learn about light, the Summa can learn about light as much as he wants and try to have some sort of Havana of it. But it's not about learning when you're reading the Birch's Kriya Shema. It's about benefiting. It's about Hana'a. V'alesle Hana'a. He never doesn't get any Hana'a from the light. V'Rabbanan isle Hana'a. And the Rabbanan say, yes, he does. The Summa absolutely gets Hana'a from the light. How so? Rabbi Yossi, like Rabbi Yossi taught, Tanya, I'm Rabbi Yossi, kol yama yisi mitzdar al mikrozeh. Rabbi Yossi says, I used to always be bothered by this pasuk. Pasuk says, vayisam im mashish b'tzarayim, kasher yimashish she'iver ba'afela. That you'll be walking around in broad daylight like a blind person walking around in the darkness. I mean, that's how clueless we are sometimes. That it could be broad daylight outside, we can see, it's a good expression to use. Sometimes the world can see certain events that, like, you'd have to be a fool not to be able to see what's right in front of your face. And it's mamish like blind people walking around in the darkness. What kind of metaphor is that? Like blind people walking around in the dark. Blind people are always walking around. If blind people are walking around in the light, it's the same as they're walking around in the dark. So what's it talking about? What is a blind person? What difference does it make to a blind person whether it's dark or light outside? It's all the same for him. So I never understood that pasuk. He said, "Ad sheba ma'isa liyadi." Until one time, I had a ma'isa. I was once walking in the darkness, and it was totally dark. And I saw a blind person walking on the road, and the blind man was holding a torch. And I said, "You're blind. Why are you holding it? You know, however you say it in a sensitive way. What are you holding a torch for? What's that going to do for you?" So Amalei calls man shavuka biyadi bnei adam ro'un osim atzilin osim min apsachin min akotzin min barkanin. What do you mean? As long as I'm holding torch, people will see me, and if they'll see me, they'll be able to tell me what's in the way, and they'll be able to guide me, they'll be able to lead me. But as Suma Ba'afela, when a Suma's walking around in the darkness, then he has no chance. So that's the metaphor of a Suma Ba'afela, that even a Suma, as long as he's willing to rely on other people to show him the way, even a person who's clueless, who can't see anything, doesn't have any idea, this is, in general, of life, or what the God, as long as he's willing to let people guide him, as long as he's willing to enable others to guide him, so he stands a chance. But if he does not going to have any light, he's not going to draw any attention to himself, he's not going to draw any guidance to himself, then he's not going to stand a chance. I think this is what we pass in La Halacha. I once asked, I was once talking to Lavi Greenspan. He was telling me that Pokeach Ivrim is a Shaila. He asked the Shaila when he first went blind. He asked several, he immediately got Chavrusas with every Gadol, the Yisrael, on the phone. He learns, if there's Rosh Shiva out there, he learns with him on the phone. He wasn't embarrassed. He called him up, said, "I'm blind. It's hard for me to learn. Can you learn with me?" What Rosh Yeshiva is worth his salt is going to say no to that. So they all learn with him. So I forgot who he said yes, but he said that was one of the Shailas that he asked right away. And he was told that no, the blind person also benefits from Pokeach Ivrim, also benefits from the fact that people could see, because if people couldn't see, they wouldn't be able to lead him around, they wouldn't be able to drive him anywhere, they wouldn't. So he also benefits from that. It's the same svara. Okay, Mishnah. Kohen sheyesh biyadav mumin lo yisas kapav. If a Kohen has blemishes on his hands, so he shouldn't be nosek kapayim. Rabbi Yehuda, he shouldn't do duchanim. Rabbi Yehuda omer, af misho yadav tzvuos satim lo yisas kapav bnei sha'am mistaklin bo. That even if his hands are colored, he shouldn't be nosek kapav, because everyone's going to be looking at it. It's going to be a big distraction. Everyone's going to be staring at his hands the whole time. So it's interesting. So we said that a Kohen who's a balmum is not allowed to be nosek as kapov. So Turi Evan writes, when we say he's not nosek kapov, that has to be midrabanan. And the reason is because ha'am is taklin, but everyone's going to be looking at his hands, because if it were, but midaraisa, there's no problem. And the raya that midaraisa, it's mutter, is because if it were asr midaraisa, why is it only a mum that's on his hands, on his face, on his feet, something that's visible, something that's out there that you'd be able to see, that would be a problem. If it were a problem midaraisa, that a balmum can't be nosek kapov, then it shouldn't matter where his mum is. It shouldn't matter if it's on his hands or not on his hands. Anywhere it should be a problem. Furthermore, the Turi Evan says, if it was asa midaraisa, then the Gemara is going to say that if it's dash bi'iro, that if everyone knows him in the city and everyone's used to seeing him like that anyway, so then you don't have to worry about it, so then it's mutter. But if it was nisa daraisa, it wouldn't be mutter if it was dash bi'iro. So obviously we're assuming that it's only nisa drabana. That's what the Turi Evan writes. Now Rashi says, what's the issue over here? The issue is that, like we said, ha'am is taklinbo, that everyone's going to be looking, everyone's going to be gazing, and no one's going to be focused on the bracha, because they're going to be too busy fixating on his deformity or on whatever is unusual about him. Tosus Maseches Chagiga and Daf Tes Zayin asks on Rashi that that's only Bizman Shabbos Migdash Hayikayim, where the Kohanim were Omid al Duchanan Bebeis HaMigdash, and they were Mvarech B'Shem HaMfurash. But when there's no Beis HaMigdash, there's no Makar in the Gemara that the Shechina was Shara al Yedehen. And therefore, the whole din that the Gemara talks about, that you can't be Mistakel B'Yedei HaKohanim, because Ein of Cheos, that's Bizman Beis HaMigdash, Tosus says. Tosus says, that's not Nogeh anymore anyway. So what are you worried about? What's the whole problem with Mistaklin? People will be distracted, and therefore they're going to look, they're going to gaze at his hands, because they're going to be distracted by his hands, and that's a real problem. You can't gaze at the hands because the Shechina is there. Tosa says, not true, the Shechina is not there anymore. Shechina was there. So Tosa says that the din is for a different reason. It's because of Hesach Hadas. It's not that you're going to be gazing at his hands and that's the problem. No, so you're not going to be focused on the tefillah, on the bracha, and you can't be Masiach Das from the bracha that you're receiving from the Kohen. The Ran quotes both of the reasons. He says, you're not going to be miskavin b'bracha, and it's also listakel b'kohanim on the etzbos of the kohanim. So according and nafkamina again is according to Rashi, it should even apply according to Rashi, the issel listakel apparently applies even b'zman hazeh. According to Tosfos, no, b'zman hazeh you're allowed to look at the hands of the kohanim. There's nothing wrong with looking at the hands of the kohanim. So la halacha, do we look at the hands of the kohanim? So the Mishnah Berurah writes in Siman Kuf Chav Ches of Kohen Peites that we are not mistakel b'dei kohanim. Looking around the room and saying, do we? Half the room is kohanim, but for the rest of us, so the Halachas Mishnah Berurah says that we're not mistakel at the hands of the kohanim because you don't want to be masiach das me'abracha. But the Mishnah Berurah says me'ikra adin, it's only usher to be mistakel meruba where you're going to lead to hasach hadas. But to see a little bit is not a problem because it's not as much beis mikdash kayam anymore. Meaning the Mishnah Berurah seems like Tosfos that really the Ashras Hashkin is not really there anymore, so it's not really such a problem to be mistakel at the hands anymore. It's only a hasach hadas problem, so you shouldn't be so fixated. But he says as a zeicha lemikdash, our minig is that we don't look at the hands at all. That's a zeicha lemikdash, but it's not really me'ikra adin anymore. Now it's interesting. The Ramah writes that the hands of the kohanim should be underneath the talis so that people don't look. Right, so if the hands are anyway underneath the talis, and all this is just me mistakel b'yad, so then there's no problem with looking. So that's questionable what the minhag is. There are different shitos whether that in fact should be done, whether the hands should be underneath the talis. The Ramah writes the minhag of Medinos Ashkenaz, and Darkei Moshe says is that the hands of the kohanim were chutz l'talis and only their faces were covered. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden says it doesn't say in the Gemara that the kohanim should cover their hands, so he says he thinks it's incorrect to cover the hands, and you're not allowed to make new minhagim after Chazal. So you shouldn't cover the hands, and he says it could be that since Nesias Kapayim is connected the avoda, that covering the hands is like chatzitza in the avoda. So they should dafka not cover the hands. What's the meaning? They cover the hands, no? Right? Everyone covers the hands. So I think someone told me that Rav Shechter stands there by Nesias Kapayim. Everyone's got the towels is over their head and covered, and he stands up straight and looks because what's the difference? Everyone's hands are covered anyway. Meaning, first of all, Mishmur says Mikra Din, you're allowed to look anyway. But the hands are covered. So if the hands are covered, then it's a davar pasha. That you're allowed to look. Okay, but that was always the tzura. That's the, you know, to schwitz under the daddy's talus. You know, that was always the tzura of Birchus Kohanim. Okay, so says the Gemara now. Tanya, mumin shamru b'fan of yadav raglav. The mumin that we talk about that are problematic mumin are only if it's on the face, hands, and feet, or the visible parts of the body. Amr Reb Shur ben Levi, yadav bohaknios le'yusas kapav. If a person has spotted hands, he should not be no se kapayim. Tanya nami yachi, yadav bohaknios le'yusas kapav. Akumos, akushos, if his hands are bent forward or bent sideways, lo yisas kapav. Also, he shouldn't be no se kapayim. Amr Reb Asi, chifni ubishni lo yisas kapav. People from Haifa and Boshen should not be no se kapav because they mispronounce words. Tanya nami yachi. We have a brisa says just like that. Aim or read the tova lo anche beishon v'lanche beischeifa v'lanche tivonim v'neisha korin la alfin einin ula einin alafin. They mispronounce words. How do they mispronounce words so terribly? They make an aleph sound just like an ayin. They say an aleph and an ayin the same way. Can you believe that? So that's why they can't be no seis kapav. So that's a Ravad Yosef writes in one of his tshuvas when one of his many tshuvas where he explains why Sfardim are better Jews than Ashkenazim. He says that Sfardim know how to pronounce the Hebrew language. They know that an ayin is different than an aleph, and Ashkenazim seem to have lost that the ayin is different than the aleph. So Rashi says, so what's the problem if they mispronounce the ayin and the aleph? Big deal. So he said, no, because if they're doing Birchas Kohanim, Ya'er Hashem Panavelecha will be Ya'er Hashem with the ayin, Hashem Panavelecha, and that's a lashon of klala. And you don't want to say a lashon of klala in Birchas Kohanim. So you have to make sure that you get it like an aleph, not like an ayin. Tori Evan says, okay, so it sounds from Rashi that if it weren't an issue of klala, then we'd have absolutely no problem with it. Forget about the lashon of klala. How could you say a word that's not in the Birchas Kohanim? You're making up a new word. That's not it. Forget about even if it's not a lashon of klala. Let's say it's you just say Yankees. I don't know. You say something, whatever, some other word that has absolutely nothing to do with anything. So that's also wrong in Birchas Kohanim. So Tereven says no. If it were not for the switching of the aleph and the ayin to switching it to a lashon klala, they'd be noseis kapam because in tefillah the chamor machbid for a person to daven on his own if he can't do the aleph and the ayin. You tell him daven on his own. We just don't let him lead the tzibur in davening. The Birchas Kohanim, he's not leading anybody. He's doing his own mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. It doesn't really affect anybody else, so it's totally fine. That's a very questionable answer. It doesn't really affect anybody else. It's a big deal in the poskim. Do the Yisraelim have a mitzvah in Birchas Kohanim? In being misbarech, in being blessed as a birchas kohanim. They have to face the kohanim, there are halachas for the Yisraelim also. So it sounds like there is some sort of din. The Torah Tumimah compares the din of a Yisrael in birchas kohanim to the role of an isha in Pru Revu. A woman's not chayiv in Pru Revu, but you can't do it without a woman. There's not going to be Pru Revu without a woman. So obviously she has some role in the mitzvah. She has to be there to aid in the mitzvah. So the Yisrael also bestam has some role in the mitzvah. So he's getting something that from being there. Amalei Reb Chiya Reb Shimon Bar Rabbi Ilmoli Atalevi Ilmoli Atalevi Pasul Atam Min Adukhan. So Reb Chiya says to Reb Shimon Bar Rabbi, he says, you should know it's a good thing you're not a Levi, because if you were a Levi, you'd be pasul to Duchan. You'd be pasul on the Duchan to sing at the, in the base of Mikdash Mishum Davi Kalech, because you have an awful voice and it would just never work. You wouldn't be kosher. Now the Gilyon HaShas, Reb Kiv Egan, the Gilyon HaShas says take a look back Chafalf Amiralf Tosas Chafalf Amiralf Tosav there discusses sometimes the words ilmale means if not, sometimes the word ilmale means if yes. Over here is ilmale atalevi, if you only were a Levi. Often it means if you were not a Levi. And Tosafot Yesod is whenever it's spelled with an aleph, it's a lashon of if not. Whenever it's with a yud at the end, ilmali with a yud, then it's a lashon if you were. So that's what he's saying. If you were a Levi, then you would have been in a lot of trouble because you have such a strange voice. So asa amalei lavua. So he went and he told his father. Reb Shimon Rebbe says, what did he tell me? He told me that if I was a Levi, so amalei zil emalei, go tell him that since he doesn't know how to distinguish between a hey and a ches, when he says v'chikisi la Hashem, he's going to be saying v'hikisi l'Hashem. He's going to be mecharif v'begadev. So you may have a bad voice, but he doesn't know how to pronounce the Hebrew language, and therefore it's much worse. It's another one of the things. How would he mess up a hey and a ches? They're so different from each other. Elamai, they're not so different from each other. A ches and a chaf are not really the same. A chet and a chaf are very different sounds. So and the ches is much more similar to the hey. But anyway, so he's criticizing that you couldn't do the difference between the ches and the hey. Some sofer says, what's going on over here? They're just making each other out back and forth. Who cares if you are a Levi? Okay, so Baruch Hashem, I'm not a Levi. So what do you have to hack me about my terrible voice? If I'm not a Levi, he doesn't understand. He says, what was the whole insult over here? So he says, no. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Kul chayafa rayasi yumumein bach. The Pasuk in Shir HaShirim is talking about the Sanhedrin. That the Sanhedrin, people on the Sanhedrin are not allowed to have any mum. Where, how do you define a mum? Any mum that would pasul b'kuhuna or pasul b'leviya would pasul someone from the Sanhedrin. It was a compliment. He was telling him, you have to worry about mumin because you're someone who's right to be on the Sanhedrin. Meaning, and that's why the mum is going to be a problem, because if you were a Levi, you would not be able to. So your voice, your unusual voice is a mum. So you know, they said Rav Moshe at the end of his life didn't want certain procedures done because he knew that he was going to have to be on the Sanhedrin as soon as Mashiach comes. He recognized that. Who else are they going to pick? So he figured he's going to have to be on the Sanhedrin. So what's the big deal? So no, he thought Balmum was going to passel him from being on the Sanhedrin. It says that in the actual biography, in the biography put out by the family in the beginning of the 8th volume of the Igros Moshe, that he refused certain procedures for that reason, or he was nervous about it. Amrav Huna, Zvalgal no yisas kapav, a person who has liquids pouring out of his body, tears and drool, so you should not be nosei kapav. Ahud avav shivusit Rav Huna vav paras yadei. What about the one in Rav Huna's neighborhood used to be paras yadav? Ahud dash biro hav, everyone was used to him, so that was fine. Tanya miyachi, Zvalgal no yisas kapav amayi dash biro mutra, and that's what the price says, if everyone's used to it, it's fine. Amrav Yochan, suma bachs mein of someone who's blind in one eye should not be no say as kapa. But there was a guy in Rabbi Yochanan's neighborhood that used to do it, who was blind in one eye. Everyone was used to him as well, so that's perfectly fine. If everyone's used to the blindness in one eye, so then it's totally mutter. It's interesting. We mentioned a whole bunch of different things, different movement and things that stop you from being no say as kapa. And it's dafka by the drooling guy and the blind guy that we say that. That if people are used to it, it's fine. Does that imply that if people are used to crooked hands, that's not okay? That it wouldn't be a problem? So some of the Achronim say, no, it's huadin, all of them. Whatever the people are used to is totally fine. Rabbi Avram in Ahar says, no, from the fact that the Gemara Dafka says, dash bi'iro by these cases, it tells you Dafka by these cases because these are more common problems. So dash bi'iro is something that's that it's more likely for people to get used to. But if it's something that's not a common problem, something that's very unusual, and it's not going to be easy for people to get used to, even though people are used to seeing the person with that deformity or with that mum, still they're not going to be used to it enough. Also, from the story of Rabbi Yochanan, Sfasemis writes that if he's dash biiro, then he's even allowed to be noseh's kapav in another city when he's visiting bederach akrai, when he just visits once in a while, because milsul shchichel goes be rabbanan. Since the whole issue is only nisim midrabbanan, and it's a milsul shchichel where he's going to be noseh's kapav elsewhere, so he's even allowed to do it elsewhere. That's what the Gemara says, that by the guy b'shuvus Rabbi Yochanan who's poros yadei, so the Gemara says he was dash biiro hava lav dafka. That ear was the ear of Rabbi Yochanan. They just remembered one time in Rabbi Yochanan's city this guy was doing it, but don't worry, because back home everyone was used to him, so therefore it was okay for him to do it even in Rabbi Yochanan's city. Okay, Rabbi Yudah Amar Misha Yadav Suos Lisa's Kapav. So the Mishnah had said that Rabbi Yudah said someone who has his hands colored cannot be Nosei's Kapav. Tanayim Rov Anshir Malachtan Bekach Mutter. If everyone's a painter and everyone's hands are always full of colors, so then it's going to be Mutter. Ha'omer Eni Over Levnei Ateva B'Tzvun. A guy says, I will not daven for the Amud wearing colored clothing. So after Levanim Leyaver, then he's not allowed even daven wearing white clothing, because he has such akpada that we're nervous about him. Besandal Eni Over Af Yachof Leyaver. If he says, I'm not going to daven wearing shoes, then he's not allowed to daven even barefoot. Hosat Tefilaso Agulav. Someone makes his tefillin round, Sakana Vein B'Mitzvah. That's considered a Sakana, and it's not a Mitzvah. Rashi says it's Sakana, because round tefillin will dig right into your head and could kill a person. Tos says, no, it's Sakana, because he's not getting the Mitzvah, and the Mitzvah of tefillin is Megan on a person. It protects a person. So he's not getting the mitzvah of tefillin when his tefillin are around, which is a difficult thing. The Turi Evan asks a bunch of kashas and tells us, he says, so why dafka tefillin? Every mitzvah is megan on a person. So if you don't do the mitzvah, you don't get the protection of that mitzvah. And also it's milsa de pshita, that if you don't do the mitzvah, it's not going to be megan. That's what the Gemara has to tell me. That the Mishnah has to tell me. And the Menachos by mezuzah, it says that if you hang the mezuzah b'makalo achori adelas sakana vein b'mitzvah. A similar Gemara says that if you put the mezuzah in a way that you could easily, that's sort of protruding from the doorpost, and it will sneak up on you, so that's a sakana ve'in b'mitzvah. And over there, Rashi and Tosfos flip. Rashi says, what's the sakana? Sakana is that you're not getting the mitzvah, and the mezuzah is supposed to protect you. Tosfos over there says you'll bang your head on it, and it's gonna kill you. So very strange that Rashi and Tosfos flip over there. Nasnal mitzvah al pas yadav. He puts his tefillin on his forehead or on his palm. Harezu derech aminus. That's like the way of apikorsum. Tzipon zav nasnal beis. If he wraps him in gold or puts it on his sleeve, hareze derech hachitzonim. That's considered derech hachitzonim. Rashi says, why is it derech hachitzonim? Because tefillin shel yad are supposed to be l'chal la'os v'lo l'acherim la'os. They need to be under the sleeve, not over the sleeve. It's supposed to be something private. So that's what the Rashba says. Oh, you see from here that putting a tefillin over a sleeve is only a problem with tefillin shel yad. Because by yad we say l'chal la'os v'lo l'acherim la'os. What do we say by shel rosh? As I mentioned yesterday in the drasha, by the shel rosh, we say that everyone's going to see and everyone's going to be afraid of your tefillin shel rosh. So barosh is supposed to be public, says the Rashba. So there's no problem with putting the tefillin shel rosh over something. That, you know, there's no issue of chatzitza tefillin shel rosh. That's the shita's Rashba. Rosh disagrees. Major machlokes poskim, big enough kaminas for people with toupees and things like that. So anyway, says the Gemara, my time chashina shem. My time. What's the reason with the guy who insists on wearing colored clothing? Chashina shem minus nizukaba. We think that his hashkafos are messed up. Round tefillin and sakana is not a mitzvah. Lema tanina lahad the Tanur Rabbanan. Tefillin meruva is halacha l'Moshe Misinai. Square tefillin is halacha l'Moshe Misinai. V'amar Rava bitfaran uba alachsonan. Both in terms of the stitching and in terms of the diagonals of the actual tefillin, the edges of the tefillin. Amar Rav Masis and Davida ki amguza. The Mishnah is talking about where you make it round like an egos, but round like a beitzo. Kadasha would have been good if just from the Mishnah, and that's why the brice is needed as well. That's why we need both of these. Both of these teachings. Okay, but I'll pick up with the Mishnah tomorrow morning. Yeah, tomorrow morning.